Community Radio Kilkenny City is the only radio station with a dedicated astronomy slot, and we're always delighted to welcome back David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland. David, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Uzi.
Now, David, let's start with NASA's Artemis programme. Engineers are now carrying out repairs to the Artemis 2 rocket. What exactly is the issue they're trying to fix, and how serious is it for the mission timeline?
Well, if all had gone to plan, they would have launched 3 days ago, and we'd all be following the mission to the moon. But unfortunately, helium leaks that pressurized the huge fuel tanks meant that not only did they have to fix the rocket, but they couldn't access the parts they needed to fix it. So this nearly 2,000-ton unfueled rocket had to be rolled back to what's called the vertical assembly building, basically a giant shed, so garage, where they could get out the parts they need and fix this once and for all, because the Artemis mission has been plagued by leaks of one gas or another. I mean, it's a very powerful rocket. You don't want anything going wrong. But that meant they had to move the launch date back to the first possible date is April the 1st. And I'm wondering, will they make that date? And then on top of that, a huge announcement from the new administrator of NASA, Jared Isaacman, who said that they're going to change the schedule. So we were supposed, we had Artemis 1 2 years ago now that went around the moon, proving the rocket worked, splashed down safely in the ocean, proving they could get astronauts back. Artemis 2, the one we're waiting for launch, that should go around the moon with a crew of four on it in a 10-day mission to come back to Earth to prove it can support life. The third mission then was going to land on the moon a year after that, and that's been put back. They're going to actually now do another mission in low Earth orbit, not anywhere near the moon, to make sure that they can do all the procedures you need for going down to the moon's surface and coming back. It was basically done in the Apollo era in the 60s, into the late 60s, when eventually Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. And then it'll be Artemis 4 that will actually land on the moon. So that's a huge change in the layout. I mean, these missions cost of the order of billions.
Absolutely. Now, the Artemis 2 mission, as you said, is set to carry astronauts forward and around the moon for the first time since the Apollo era. How important, David, is this mission in the wider plan to land humans on the moon again later in the decade? How, in layman's terms, how important is this mission?
Well, it's hugely important, because the last time there were people at the moon was in 1972, well over 50 years ago. It'll be close to 60 years by the time we eventually land boots on the ground again. And whereas that was really a race with the Russians, the space race, to see who could beat each other to the moon with their technology. The Russians had been setting all kinds of records, first man on the moon, first satellite, first man in space, first satellite going around the Earth, first woman in space, etc., first moonwalk, the lot. They were wiping the floor with the Americans back in the 60s, and eventually the Americans won at the last minute and got the first person to the moon. And then the budget for that was huge, about 5% of the USA's federal budget. You wouldn't get that kind of money now. And so this time the idea is to do it slowly, durably, and stay on the moon. So to have a moon base, maybe a moon station, that's being debated at the moment. It was planned, but now there's some idea it might not go ahead. But have a moon base. And, of course, there's another space race on now, which is the Chinese. They've said they're going to land people on the moon by 2030. So the Americans have got another race with a different type of state, shall we say. So it's enormously important this goes off. It's a matter of national prestige. Who is the leading technology country on the planet? Have the Chinese taken over that particular label, or is it still the Americans?
And David,
we wait with bated breath to see.
And David, is it wise? Is it wise for a mission to have suffered so many flaws and interruptions in it to be attempting to go on April Fool's Day?
Yeah, April the 1st is the first window they have. They have several other windows during April that they can launch on. So, for instance, the weather's not good, or some last-minute glitch that can be easily fixed, they can postpone, and they can't relaunch. There's various reasons why it's a bit complicated as to why they can't just launch any day. April the 1st, I don't think the scientists and engineers at NASA are that superstitious. They'll be more worried about getting all the technology right. These rockets, the specs on these rockets are ridiculous. They empty a swimming pool's worth of fuel in just a few tens of seconds. Crazy engineering like that.
Wow. Now, turning to something people across Ireland can actually see from March the 13th, the International Space Station will be visible in the evening sky. For listeners who have never seen it before, what should they be looking out for and where?
Well, it's the brightest object in the sky when it flies over. It's the biggest man-made object ever put into space and the most expensive object ever built, over 100 billion euros. So we're talking a significant fraction of a trillion euros. And there are seven astronauts on board. There are lots of satellites you can see every night. They're like vermin these days. But this one is extremely bright, and it's got people on board that you can see. So it won't fly over Irish evening skies until Friday, Friday the 13th. Again, hopefully no superstition there.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got over 2 weeks to see it, till the 28th. And it flies over at a different time every evening. When it does, it's the brightest thing in the sky. Right now, the brightest thing in the sky is Jupiter. And it will be about as bright as Jupiter, sometimes brighter. But Jupiter will stay up for hours, whereas the space station will only take a couple of minutes to cross the sky. So it's much smaller, much closer, of course.
And
will
you,
it's an amazing sight to see with the naked eye.
And will you have the timings or on your social media sites?
Yeah, there are lots of websites, apps that you can get to give you predictions. But we do something special for Ireland. On our social media, we post about 4 o'clock each afternoon the exact time to see ISS that evening. But also, is anything interesting happening? Is there a space chase? Is a supply craft going up, maybe even a new crew, or is one coming down? And then you'll see a craft chasing the space station across the sky. And they just released a Japanese cargo ship that's not going to burn up immediately in the atmosphere. It's going to stay in space for a few weeks doing other kinds of experiments. So it was seen over the weekend from Puerto Rico, and we're hoping it's going to stay close enough that we can see the two in the sky by Friday. So we don't know yet. We'll have to literally update people on the day, Friday, and every day thereafter. And it's a different time to see it each night. So check for around the 4 o'clock mark, certainly before the sun sets, for our prediction on all of our social media. Set an alarm about 5 minutes beforehand. Get your coat on. Take the whole family out and watch space history in the making. And the links to all the social media Astronomy On runs is on our website, astronomy.ie, down the bottom, Facebook, X, Twitter, Instagram, whatever your favourite is.
Now, the ISS is often described, David, as the largest structure ever built in space and the most expensive object ever constructed. Can you give us a sense of its scale and just how remarkable it is when that we can see it with the naked eye from the ground? How big is it? Give us some context of how big it is.
Yeah, it's about 400 kilometres, 250 miles or so above the Earth's surface. So looking at a map of Ireland, that's about from Kerry to Donegal. So it's sitting high over the map, if you like. And that means people in Donegal can see it at the same time as people in Kerry. So the whole island gets to experience it at the same time. The first module was launched in 1998, and there are no rockets big enough to put the whole 400-ton object up in space. So it was launched piecemeal, bolting, docking all the individual segments together. And now if you were to land it, it would just nicely fit on the pitch at Croke Park. It's that kind of size, especially with this huge solar panels they need to generate all the electricity. So there's lots of great statistics about it. And it's the Chinese do now have their own space station, by the way, the three astronauts on board, a bit too far south to see from Ireland. But the International Space Station is bigger, has more astronauts, been going longer. And actually, there's just news in today that the U.S. were planning to deorbit, to burn up in 2030, getting a bit old now, first bit launched 1998, and now they want to extend the mission to 2032. So we'll be covering that in the next issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine, for people who like following what's going on in manned spaceflight.
And just in relation to those seven astronauts on board, David, carrying out experiments, what kind of research is being done there, particularly into the long-term effects of weightlessness on the human body?
Yeah, well, people who go to the moon and live on moon bases will weigh one-sixth of what they weigh on the Earth. And if you're in a moon base, you won't have a heavy spacesuit on, so you'll be able to jump extremely high. And that's a sixth gravity. Now, if you're on the space station orbiting Earth now, or the one that could be orbiting the moon, or going on a very long six-month journey to Mars, your body's going to be weightless, and that's not natural. We know that even despite doing lots of exercise on treadmills strapped down to them, the astronauts still lose a significant amount of bone density. In fact, you can use the studies of that to help with studies of osteoporosis for people on the ground. It tells us more about the human body. So the astronauts are really guinea pigs testing themselves for longer missions. The longest anyone's been up was over 400 days, a Russian astronaut. And, you know, when they come back, they have to be put into special chairs for their bodies to get used to the full weight of Earth's gravity again. So it's not insignificant spending long periods of time in space. It could actually damage your health. And so doing things to mitigate this, understanding it as well, is extremely important for the future. Then, of course, there are lab technicians. They're running experiments on the station for the scientists at home on the ground. And, of course, they've got to get out and fix the thing. Occasionally, bits need replacing, solar panels, all kinds of manner. There are caretakers, lab technicians, and guinea pigs all in one.
Now, you're also talking about the possibility of a rare space chase in the sky with the Japanese cargo spacecraft HTV-X1 and potentially visible following the ISS. How unusual is that, and what exactly might people see if it does happen?
Yeah, I mentioned this a moment ago, and I haven't seen a space chase with ISS in years now. And we have to have them at the right time. What's been happening recently is the cargo ships tend to go up automatically, very quickly dock and come back. In the old days, they'd go up, check everything was safe, creep up on the space station and dock very gently. Now they've got it down to a T. They're up and down too quick, and really you've got to have the space station flying over at the right time, and that's why it's now so rare. But this Japanese cargo vessel is going to be deliberately left in space. Normally they'd undock and then burn the thing up with lots of rubbish in it in the Earth's atmosphere. And that would happen very quickly. But now we've got weeks to see it. So we're not sure how far away it's going to drift from the space station. They certainly won't want it too close. And so we'll be able to get better details of that by Friday and tell people if it's going to be in the sky ahead of or behind the space station. It won't be as bright because, of course, it's not as big. It's just one module. But you'll certainly see it with the naked eye. And it's amazing to watch something chasing the space station across the sky.
Absolutely.
I hope they stay fairly close and we get to see it.
And you're also encouraging people to try and photograph the ISS and even this potential space station if it happens, just using just a smartphone. That's realistic, is it?
Yeah, now smartphones are extremely powerful astronomical cameras. We had a Christmas lecture about this, which people can still get if they contact the society, showing you how to do it. They have night mode or pro modes, and you can now photograph stars fainter than you can see with your eyes. And you can make videos of the space station flying across the sky in real time. Some of them can even show background stars. The smartphones are that good. So have a go. If you get a good shot, we want to publish it in Astronomy Ireland magazine.
Okay, and we've time for briefly two questions, David. For early risers tomorrow morning, there's also a nice sight. The bright star Antares appears very close to the moon. What makes this alignment interesting?
Yeah, it's quite rare. And so if you're up early for work or school, first thing to do is have a look out for the moon rising over in the east. Fairly high up in the southeast, in fact. And you'd be able to put your thumb out at arm's length and cover both the moon and the brightest star in Scorpius. It'd be plainly visible to the naked eye. I've seen it happen before. Factor in the Irish weather. It's probably something you only see once every year or two. And tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock onwards, is the time to watch. And if you see it, drop a line to Astronomy Ireland magazine. We want to publish your report. Try having a snap with your smartphone again.
Okay, and finally, David, and finally and briefly, Jupiter is dominating the evening sky at the moment, and Astronomy Ireland is holding a Moon and Jupiter watch later this month. What will people be able to get to see through the telescopes, and how can listeners get involved with Astronomy Ireland?
Yeah, the Moon is tonight's, by far the most
spectacular. And, sorry, including joining tonight's online lecture as well, of course, about Venus.
Oh, yeah.
Very quickly.
Well, for the end of the month, we can cover this next week, that the Moon is always best around the March equinox.
Yep.
So on the 28th of March, we're going to show the Moon and the planet Jupiter, by the way, in giant telescopes. Details will be on the website tomorrow, and we'll talk about it again next week, probably the week after. But the big news for tonight is that we have our monthly public lecture. We've got a world-class expert who's going to tell us, Roy Gunson, all about Venus, the Earth's evil twin. So Venus, the same size as the Earth, it's a bit closer to the Sun than we are, but why is it 500 degrees Celsius on the surface, and the air is 90 times thicker with sulfuric acid in the atmosphere? It's a crazy planet. It gives us an idea what could go wrong on the Earth if we're not careful about climate change, and all will be revealed at 7 o'clock tonight. You can get tickets for that. Watch it online from anywhere in the country on astronomy.ie.
Okay, we leave it there. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, many thanks as always for joining me on Community Radio Kilkenny City and on Kilkenny Today. And if you'd like daily Skywatch updates, details of events or information on joining Astronomy Ireland or that lecture tonight, go to astronomy.ie. That lecture will be at 7 o'clock this evening. Now, thanks David, appreciate that. Now, so that brings us to the end of this evening's programme.